Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. In a second, Pete and I are going to break down the game, the Lakers game that just ended. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 115-108. In segment one, well, honestly, Pete and I basically spend the whole time giggling about how good LeBron is. I carried over a either-or segment from Adam, or a question that Adam asked that you know, had Pete and I kind of marveling at how great LeBron is, even still at this age. So we break down the 46-point effort that he had in his return to Cleveland. In segment two, we get to some of the questions from this game, right? What's still going on with Anthony Davis? Is there a way to get Dennis Schroeder going? And then in segment three, we get back to the shouts and the positives of this game and discuss Kyle Kuzma continuing to be this kind of glue guy and his fitting into that role and what that means about his maturation. And then also Montrezl Harrell, who finishes a game of plus 18. We talk about what led into that and what this trend that he's on and the potential growth that we're seeing, that we're watching here, that really makes the Lakers a really daunting team. And then, as we're getting ready to call it a night, Harrison reported in this was in a post game scrum, but LeBron was asked about the interaction that he had with somebody on the Cavs sideline, and apparently that was with a front office member. So Pete and I get a nice little laugh out of that. Really fun show. You guys are going to want to enjoy it. And then on tomorrow's show, we have the Kamenetsky brothers scheduled. So until then, let's go ahead and get to this one. We'll talk to you then. Hey, this LeBron James guy, I know he's, a little older, but seems to still have a bright future in the league, I would say.
Just, he's unprecedented, man. This guy is just flat out unprecedented. What a treat it is to watch him every night.
So on Locked On NBA the other day, Adam, we, in the second segment of the show, Adam and I played a game of either or, and one of his either or pertaining to the Lakers, because we were covering the Lakers that day, was if you had to choose between LeBron not being a top five player next year or being a top five player 5 years from now, which way would you lean when he's 40 years old? So do you like, which is more likely?
Oh, which is more likely?
Yeah.
Oh,
like which
boy. I'm I'm not going to bet against him. Yeah, because like the way that so first off, so much of his dominance is mental. And then the way he's shooting the ball this year, like, is that a thing now? Is LeBron like a 40% 3-point shooter? Because good freaking luck, right? You know, like, and he could absolutely still be a top five player in the NBA. Because it's funny, because a lot of his drives to the rim, you'll see him get his shot blocked or get altered and he'll miss. I came across an old LeBron highlight reel from, this would be late 2000s. And which is crazy to think he'd already been in the league like 5-6 years at that point, right? And this is well over a decade ago. And it was on a pick and roll drive that's a very common, you know, we see them even on this year's team. And he just planted one foot and raised up and just yammed on the guy. And I was like, oh, and it was like, and it was, he has lost some of the ability to do that.
Yeah.
It's just he's become so dominant in so many of the different facets of the game that he hasn't he didn't have the type of mental dominance or the type of skills at that age that he does now. And he's been able to maintain his body to where he's still like that block shot that he got in the fourth quarter. Like you give him a little bit of he needs a little more of a runway now to elevate, to like plant that one foot and get up. But if he does, he's still a monster of an athlete there. So boy, man, give me his top five guy when he's 40, which is just
that's what I'm saying. Cause like the way I answered it was like, well, we know he's not going to be a top five player next year. Like we know that.
Yeah.
That is definitely not happening.
Yeah, this is barring like major injury or anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, knock on wood and stuff. But yeah, I mean, we're watching somebody who is at the pinnacle of his sport and has been at the pinnacle of his sport for what? 15 years?
12 to 15 years. Unbelievable. Bro, there are guys, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony. D Wade was a little bit older, right, when he came into the draft. And LeBron was straight out of high school. Melo played that 1 year at Syracuse, won the national title. But like, Melo is only a year older than him. Mm-hmm. And he's a Hall of Famer. And so is D Wade, right? Chris Bosh, obviously his career was ended prematurely. But there are plenty of guys that are younger than him, that look older than him in terms of their game, whose games have already, and I'm talking like Hall of Fame caliber players that have degraded. Like Dwight Howard was the number one pick in the draft afterward.
Chris Paul,
right. Who's still a phenomenal player, but to be this, come on. At this point of his career, it just doesn't make sense.
I remember because this was back when Kobe was in his prime, and being a Laker fan, you couldn't like LeBron. I remember saying like, oh, well, when Wade's athleticism slips, he's really going to kind of his game is really going to dip. Wound up being pretty much right on that one. And I said the same thing about LeBron. And it's like, no, he just I replied to one of Dragonfly Jones's tweets earlier. And it's like, you know, I compare him to one of those artists who just decides at some point, you know what? I just want to learn the Spanish guitar. Why not?
Yeah, and could just pick it up over.
I just feel like being a 40% 3-point shooter. Why not?
Yeah.
this like new fadeaway that he's shooting this year. I just feel like hitting that shot a bunch. Why not? And yeah, it's insane to watch it. As I said at the opening of the show, Lakers beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 115-108. LeBron goes for 46. 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, plus 11, 19 of 26 shooting from the field, and 7 of 11 from 3-point range, including a logo shot. And it was great watching the Spectrum feed, because Stu and Billy both go logo at the same. It was so great. The moment was so incredible, because it's like logo, and they knew it was bottom as soon as he released it. He knew it was bottom as soon as he released it. It was incredible.
Can I give a quick shout out to Billy Mack and Stu real quick? I know they're not everybody's favorite, but when you watch them in context with the ongoing conversation that you and I have had for ages, they always talk about the game. They always talk about the game, whether you're into their style or not. Like, they are focused on the action that's happening on the court. So I just wanted to extend some appreciation. Billy Mack is like the most positive person that you've ever met. And
nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just appreciate them.
I mean, if you try to talk about anything other than the game, you hear Stu just like, hey, there's a game on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's been really cool to see Stu. I felt like he lost kind of his zest for it during the down years, of course. No, I'm not blaming the guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, he'd been doing it forever.
Coming up from San Diego area to watch Ronnie fucking Price.
Right. And to, yeah, you get off those games at, you know, 10:30 and got to make that drive back and all that. I mean, look, great, one of the greatest jobs in the world for sure. But it's great to hear Stu enthusiastic about the team, right? He's one of those links back to Chick, and has been here since Stu's first year was 87, maybe 88. And so he's been the color commentator for pretty much your entire life, and a lot of Laker fans. So anyway, it's just cool to hear him really enthusiastic about LeBron and the team and all of that.
Yeah, I remember the first time my dad told me that there was somebody before Stu, I was like, get out of here.
Oh. Yeah.
But you're absolutely right that I'm happy that there's a final chapter to his career where he like gets to – because I don't know how much longer he has doing this, you know, that drive up from San Diego is tough, you know, but he's, you know, he gets to go out on one of the better runs that the Lakers have had in his career. So that's pretty cool. But hey, I want to take a quick second here. And when we come back, I just want to enjoy some of this. We do have to talk about Anthony Davis. I do want to ask you about Alex Caruso. And I also want to give a shout out to Kyle Kuzma, because I've really enjoyed the way he played. He and Harrell actually have a lot in common, so they'll probably take part in the same kind of conversation. So hang tight. We'll come back to that here in a bit.
Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today in a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest news stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is also brought to you in part by betonline.ag. Today's bet of the day, game of the day, the only line that is up to this point is the one between the New York Knicks and the Utah Jazz. The Jazz are currently favored at home by 11. And I think I'm going to take the Knicks in this one. The Knicks are playing really good basketball by Knicks standards, albeit. But they're defending really well. Tibbs is playing everybody super long minutes, and it's too early in the season for you to really see that impact. Utah also playing incredibly well, by the way. But I think, you know, asking a bettor to put money down on a team winning by at least 12, that's a big ask. So I'm going to go ahead and put my money on the Knicks to, you know, keep it closer than the 11 points. We just saw the Lakers not be able to cover their 10.5 point spread against the Cavs tonight. So again, if you're going to be doing any of this, you're only going to want to try it out or do it at betonline.ag. They have everything covered. Super Bowl props are already up. The game itself is already up. Every line that you could think of. You have NBA games up, NCAA basketball games going up, and every sport that you might be interested. They also have a race book. They have an online casino. They have live betting if you're up for that. So one more time, that is betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. If you're going to do so responsibly. One last time, betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON.
Forgot to also mention, so I guess this will be the Debbie Downer segment, and it'll be a really quick one because I want to spend more time enjoying LeBron. But AD has another one of those games, and I don't want to turn him into a complete punching bag. He did have the three blocks on Drummond, so that kind of made up for some of his game. But Pete, I was wondering if you noticed the same thing that I was noticing. That getting back in transition, he was often one of the slowest players getting back in transition. And there were some stretches where he wasn't getting, you know, if he crossed half court, he was doing the Rasheed Wallace, like three-point line thing. I don't know if you remember that, like from the end of
absolutely. Yep.
Reed's career. But the problem is Rasheed Wallace was doing that at like 36 years old and Anthony Davis is 27. And I'm just kind of curious, like, do you think, I know there are some tweaks that the Lakers could make from a basketball standpoint. I still think they're making the game really difficult on him by focusing almost solely on isolation. But I also kind of feel like that's a product of his approach. Like even in pick and rolls, it's not like he's rolling hard to the rim.
He's popping on most of those, right?
Yeah.
But when AD's
or he's
bad.
Doing the Julius Randle, like set a pick and then set up post up, you know, pinch post position.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah. Just kind of stand there and turn around. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When he's bad, he tends to drift and he really struggled on his jump shot tonight. I think he was like 0 for 10 on his jumpers and 5 for 16 overall. So he was like 5 for 6 in the paint, right? Dominant as he normally is, maybe not quite at the volume you would like, but it was really just him missing wide open shots over and over again. And then, like you said, running back in transition defense. I noticed that a few times, right? Where he kind of got the piano on his back and it's not the graceful Anthony Davis we're used to seeing bounding up and down the floor. Not a great night from him. Although I thought he was good in half court defense, but yeah.
Do you think he's healthy?
I don't know. Like he didn't look like he was running the way I'm used to seeing him run. Mm-hmm. So that was a question in my mind, right? It's like, is he feeling okay? Is this a mental thing? He balled out against Chicago, which obviously had a very weak front line. I actually thought the Lakers had a good chance of losing this game before the game even started. I've been watching. you know, I want to watch Brooklyn play just like everybody else does. And they played the Cavs twice and the Cavs beat them twice. And it wasn't just that they beat Brooklyn, but it was like, these guys play really hard and they're good athletes and they mm-hmm. play with a lot of force. And that's something that this is exactly the type of team that I expect us to lose games to
we probably do lose.
Maybe so. I mean, if that fan or whoever it was doesn't talk shit to LeBron at the end of the third quarter, we might have lost that game, right? Like LeBron dropped 46 and we won by 7 in Cleveland, right? So we didn't, our shooters were really bad tonight. That was a stolen win by LeBron because aside from him, Anthony Davis shot
0 for 3 from 3-point range.
0 for 3. KCP was 1 for 8. Mm-hmm.
Caruso's 1 for 3.
Wes was 0 for 3. Kuz missed his only one. And so this was not something that a night where aside from LeBron, the team shot particularly well. He hit 7 of our 10 3-pointers and we were 3 for 21 outside of him.
Yeah.
And so that was really most of the story of tonight's game, but Cleveland plays hard. They're not a bad team. They were 500 team before tonight. And, it was a good win. I was actually happy with this win because I did think that we defended, especially come the second half. I thought we defended much better.
Yeah. One quick thing before we move on. Is there anything the Lakers can do to get Schroeder going, or is it just one of those funks that he's going to have to get himself out of?
Yeah.
He hasn't made a three on this road trip.
Yeah, no, he looks very tentative. I'd like to see him be more aggressive especially when LeBron's off the floor, those lineups mm-hmm. that he shares the court with Anthony Davis. I think that he's a little too deferential. And I think that, you know, getting out in the open court, you know, attacking the basket, just being more assertive on his own, being less like, oh, I'm on the court with Anthony Davis, so I got to make sure AD gets this pinch post touch that you were talking about every time down the mm-hmm. court, you know, just to see him be more aggressive. But to me, he looks like he's also in his head about his jumper.
Mm-hmm.
And so against a team too, that is very protect the paint centric, the way that Milwaukee was, the way that Cleveland is, those are teams that if he's got no confidence in his jumper, which he looks like he doesn't have much of, he had a couple of nice pull-ups in this game, but from that three ball, then it's tough going because that's where they're strong, is down in the interior and those shots are open. So if he's not feeling good about that, his options are a lot more limited.
Yeah. I've reached a point where I think he would benefit from playing less alongside LeBron. Like I'm mm-hmm. trying to do whatever I can to find Caruso minutes anyway.
Sure.
But, you know, be it as it may, if you can get Schroeder out there less alongside LeBron, he is going to be, because you want him to defer to LeBron, like especially while LeBron is playing the way he was tonight, you want him to just kind of hand LeBron the ball and get out of the way. And you know, if that's all he's going to be doing, then that really doesn't utilize him in any way in the half court, because it's not like he's a good enough shooter, especially now, to where defenses are going to be, you know, sliding towards him in any meaningful way. So if the Lakers could find a way to tweak the rotation to where his minutes are spent more alongside Davis and Harrell and Wes, you know, and Kuz in that kind of group, than it's been to this point, I think that would really help him kind of, that allows him to attack like that, you know, with Kuz, because defenses do have to honor Kuz. Defenses, you know, even though Matthews isn't shooting the ball particularly well, they aren't going to leave Wesley Matthews alone, you know.
Right.
Harrell has his own gravity, and AD is obviously Anthony Davis. So, you know, that might make for more open lanes and more opportunities for Schroeder to really get something going to the basket. Because even like right now, you could see it when you know, he gets the ball and LeBron's on the court, especially down the stretch there, he was just basically like waiting for the opportunity to give LeBron the ball. And sure, it's a smart thing to do, but it also isn't going to, you know, help him in any meaningful way when the Lakers do need to get him going. Like I had a bunch of people in my mentions saying like, just bench the guy. And it's like, that'd be fine if it's a playoff series, if it's the finals and it's your last game of your season. But while the Lakers are trying to build something, they do need this guy to be productive.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. Is the best version of this Lakers team, which isn't to say the only version that can win a title, but the best version of this team involves Dennis Schroeder being the best version of himself. He's a really talented player. He was the runner-up for the Sixth Man of the Year last year, right? And he was an 18, 19 point per game guy. He was part of, and is part of this year. You realize our starting lineup is still has the best net rating of any starting group in the NBA. And he's part of that. And that's part of, I've actually fallen for Schroeder a little more over this road trip, because how you play when you're playing like crap on offense, how much you compete on defense and contribute in like the little things parts of the game. Not everybody does that. There are a lot of guys who, if they don't have their offense going, they get down on themselves. And you can see he's down on himself, but he's still competing on defense. He's still making plays, tapping out, you know, potential offensive rebounds for the other team. Just all of this little stuff down the stretch. AD or LeBron hit AD with like a backdoor cut for a dunk, and then, you know, hit him going across the lane as well. And that's Schroeder setting that wide pin down screen off of that elbow series type of action. And so, you know, this is exactly what this regular season is for. We're 18 games into a 72 game season. That's, we're exactly a quarter of the way through. We are 25% through this season. And the next 25%, and then the 25% after that, getting Dennis Schroeder involved and getting the best version of him with this team is an important part of us maximizing our potential.
Might be one of the top priorities, maybe the
Sure.
I think the is getting AD going, and then Schroeder isn't far down the list after that.
But I know that AD can fit in with this, right? And whereas Schroeder is still figuring it out.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would also add, like to build off of your point about like the way that he plays while he's struggling. I like seeing it bother guys when they aren't playing very well. It used to piss me off to no end watching Tyler Ennis suck and then just be like, "Well, I'm Tyler Ennis." You know, it was just, it would drive me insane. like go dive for a loose ball, go like, you know, go take a charge, like try to do something that provides value to the team. Instead, it's just kind of like, "Well, you know, this is who I am." And Schroeder though, like, When he you know, dribbles the ball off his foot, if he misses a shot, if he has a wrong read or something like that, you could see his like shoulders kind of slump, and you could see like he actually cares that he just messed up. And I think, you know, you don't want to go so far into it where you're kicking yourself over every little thing, but I'd rather err on that side than ambivalence.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk about Kyle Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell. And then also look ahead to the Philly game.
Go behind the scenes of the game you love and get all sides of the story with the Rejecting the Screen podcast. Each week, Noah Kosloff and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing players, coaches, media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. Subscribe to the Rejecting the Screen podcast wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now. And you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high-tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part. And that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will save 20% off your next order. Not your first, your next. So however often you go to the website and you make a purchase, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to save 20% off. And you're saving 20% off on an incredible product. We've been working with these guys forever now, and it is the kind of partnership you're really proud of, not just because of the ability that we've been able to work together, but also because of how great the product itself is and how easy it is to sell. I've told my family about it, close friends back home, friends that I've made out here. I personally use it almost every day. Basically, I would probably say I'm closer to every day than anything else, any other way you could describe this thing. It's great for me because I'm always on the go, always have some errand to run or something to ride or something like that. Avery got into some kind of trash or something, so I have to clean up and don't have enough time to eat a full meal. Built Bar has been great with that. I've lost weight since we've started working with them because it's a super healthy bar. Great flavors, great textures, just an all-around fantastic product. So one more time, head on over to builtbar.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% off your next order. Builtbar.com, the best protein bar you'll ever eat. So Kyle Kuzma goes for a career high, six offensive rebounds, eight total. I'd have to imagine he's averaging the most rebounds of any point in his career to this point. His weak side defense is apparently a thing. Like this is just one of the things that he's doing. And, you know, when the Lakers gave him the extension, the concern was, well, he would just kind of accept it and do the Wiggins thing. And this is, you know, try to show that he earned that money by scoring and solely scoring. And you know what? I've been asked a couple times, you know, what I think of Kuzma, and he's become a punching bag because of his online presence and stuff. And people have basically written him off as a person that he is. But I think that's ridiculous to start with. And then also, more importantly, basketball wise, has become a really valuable player because of the stuff that he does all over the court. It's not just, you know, you think 3 and D and you think little things that are done. You tend to think that that's going to happen on the defensive end, but the offensive rebounds. And even if he isn't getting an offensive rebound, the fact that he's crashing the boards stops the other team in transition. It doesn't allow them to get out in transition. So I just wanted to give him a shout out because, you know, he only has 4 points, but he has a block. He has an assist. Those eight rebounds was a plus 10 on the evening. And I think in more normal circumstances plays down the stretch in the spot that Schroeder was in, because he earned it in every sense of the word along, you know, as the game was going along.
Yeah. How far has Kuz come to be able to have a 4-point game where you're like, he was a part of the reason why we won that game.
Yeah.
Right? He was a positive contributor, even though he only scored 4 points in that game. And the value of him is that he's so dynamic that he's a wild card, which can be frustrating on certain teams, but I would argue that on this team, it's actually a great asset because we've got so much talent around him that he can have a hot 3-point shooting night. He could be a scorer, and Kuz can totally drop 30, and that's not something that's beyond his capability. He can also get 10 to 12 rebounds now. He can be a shot blocker. He can be a switchy defender at times, and the ability, and you're not even really sure which version of him is going to show up. Like, I don't know which one of right. those things he's going to be on any night. And there are some nights where he just stinks, which is true of other players too.
Happens all the time.
But you compare that to, say, a role player like Wes Matthews, and Wes Matthews is going to do a couple of things, and either he'll make shots or he won't make them, but doesn't have this like diversity of, oh, Wes Matthews had this great passing game tonight, or Wes Matthews got us 10 rebounds in 19 minutes or 22 minutes or whatever, right? And so that ability to be dynamic that Kuz has really adds a, you're not sure, like he can fill in the space of where an opposite, where the an opponent is weak. And he was doing that tonight, Anthony, just crashing the offensive boards against guys that weren't boxing out, that couldn't handle him when they did. And it's great to have a guy like that.
Yeah. I just thoroughly enjoy a player who, like, we've watched that maturation take place. Like, it's really fun to watch that process take place, where as a rookie, he has that great scoring rookie season that makes people think, oh my God, what could this guy be? And then he has a couple down years or years that don't, you know, play up to expectations. And I'm sure for those who just kind of box score watch, they're saying, well, he still isn't playing to expectations. But anybody who watched that game tonight would say, no, he was very much a reason why the Lakers won that thing. And more often than not, by the way, this season, the Lakers have now 14 wins. I would imagine in at least 10 of them, you would probably say that about him. And that's pretty incredible for a player at this stage of his career. Maybe not his age, right? He's like, what, 26, I think, at this point, 25, 26. And so, you know, his age is one thing, but at this stage of his career, that's it. And by the way, I think that's a function of the culture that the Lakers have really instilled since Anthony Davis showed up, that, you know, AD shows up, you have AD and LeBron, and you're basically saying, all right, everybody just kind of fill in and be the best that you can be at what we're asking you to do. I kind of compare Kuzma. I was trying to think of this analogy while you were talking, and maybe Aaron Larsoul will be better to give this analogy because he's a much better cook than I am. But I see the Lakers as this like great steak dinner, right? And, you know, AD or LeBron is the steak. AD is like the scallop potatoes that you have off to the side. And then you have, like, you know, the different salad and all that stuff, right? And then Kuz being the wild card, like sometimes when I'll cook a steak here, I'll grill up some mushrooms to throw on top of there. And some nights, you know, I'll try something different with the mushrooms. And some nights it really adds to the steak, right? It adds a little bit of extra spice or something like that. Other nights it's just kind of there. Other nights it's like you scrape the mushrooms off of the steak and you just enjoy it as if you didn't make those mushrooms. But that's how I kind of see him. I kind of see him as this, like, this garnish that can really hugely elevate the meal and does so more often than not.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I would say that LeBron and AD are steak and lobster. I don't know if AD's, I know he's frustrating right now, but I don't know if AD's a side dish.
But I don't know. Yeah, he's like a baked potato right now. He's like a lukewarm baked potato.
Come on, he's better than that.
Like even too much sour cream.
Yeah. Sure.
No, you're right. Steak and lobster is more apt, or like steak and scallops. I'm more of a scallops guy.
There you go. But that's, and Kuz's ability to fill out the meal is really valuable to have a guy that can do that, because most role players are only able to do one or two things, and that's what they excel at. And so his ability to, he's a more diverse role player than most guys are.
Last guy on here, you guys know that every time I talk about plus minus, I usually look at the guy who has the worst game in terms of it. Marc Gasol had minus 11. That's about as bad as you're going to see Gasol play this year. And then Montrezl Harrell was the other end of that spectrum because he filled in for Marc Gasol, right? With the foul trouble, he steps in. He has he finishes the night, a game high plus 18, 15 points, 6 boards, 6 of 9 from the field. And also some really good defense on the perimeter. I thought he overplayed JaVale on a play. He and JaVale kind of had one of those back and forth moments.
Yeah, there was a lot of JaVale in that second half, by the way. That was very entertaining when it's not on your team.
But he had that one play where JaVale wound up like dribbling behind his back. had he finished it, it would have been like it would have gone viral. As it is, you know, because Shaq is petty, he's going to show up on Shaq in the Fool. But I thoroughly enjoyed what Montrez brought to the table. And I think he's kind of finding what his footing here. His production, I feel like, is becoming, just gradually more consistent here. And by the way, like heading into this year, we said that if the Lakers are going to be truly special, they're going to get the most out of Harrell. And I think they're kind of gradually making their way, especially I think if Schroeder starts playing more minutes alongside Harrell and less alongside LeBron. I think, slowly but surely, we're going to get to a point where they're maximizing Harrell. And at that point, I just don't know what anybody does with the Lakers.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've won 8 out of our last 9 games, and he's scored double figures in all of them. He's such a talented scorer that, you know, he plays with a great deal of ferocity, but I hope fans can also see the level of touch that he has, right? Yeah. On those little floaters. And if you get him a clean look around the rim, it's going in. He had one play in not this game, but the game before, where he cut from the weak side. I think it was the weak side dunker spot. And I think it was LeBron found him, and he was open on a little floater, and he just rushed it. He thought he had less time than he did. Pissed. And he backed him. He was so pissed at himself, right?
He's so like, angry.
And he never, because he never misses that shot.
Yeah.
And that's something that I was like, I just dig this guy. But he plays with so much spirit, and he's got talent defensively. But the thing is he is really, he is more dependent upon putting him in the right position to succeed. Mm-hmm. If you don't put him in. So this game was a perfect example of that. He was a plus 18, but there was a stretch in the second quarter where Vogel asked him to defend Andre Drummond.
Which
Drummond
took it to him
every time. And Trez struggles. And this makes sense. At some point, a guy becomes just too big for Trez. Yeah.
Trez,
right,
like, and this 6'7".
Exactly. Like, look at him next to LeBron. He's shorter than LeBron, mm-hmm. and he's going up against all of these fives. And you can see why a guy like Jokic would give him problems. Not just because he's Jokic and he's great, but like that dude is just way bigger than this dude.
Right. Yeah.
And Andre Drummond's one of those guys. We'll probably see Joel Embiid if they get any minutes matched up. Be one of those guys. But this game was a great example of why the whole like, but you can't play Trez in the playoffs, because that thing that happened with Drummond in the first half didn't happen in the fourth quarter because we had Anthony Davis guard Andre Drummond
right
there. And then Trez is on the lesser big, I forget. I think it was Okoro. Maybe it was playing the four. I don't remember who it was.
Like Osman or Okoro, like those, either one of those guys. Yeah.
Right. And Trez isn't going to have problems with that. But if Trez is your main five that's on the court, and it's not like they could play Trez and Zubats together at the same time, that like he's going to get beat up by guys that just after a certain size. But this was exactly the type of game where I'm like, I'm not worried about that. Like, can he guard those guys? No, but that's okay. We got other guys who can. And he's so good at the things that he's good at that you can really maximize that value and hide him in a lot of those other circumstances where you don't have to ask him to defend those really, really big guys, even in a playoff series.
Yeah. you mentioned the play with the floater. One of the plays, I want you to look for it too, when you go back and rewatch this one, but he had a putback like layup or dunk or whatever that he got fouled on. And you could see because the guy kind of got him low, and you know, sometimes bigs are kind of sensitive to being touched low when they're up high and fully extended, right?
Yeah, get low rid. Yeah.
So the whoever fouled him, you could kind of, he's there getting ready to shoot his free throws, and whoever fouled him, I think, was down by the basket. He was off camera, but I'm sure asked Trez, "Hey, are you all right, man?" He's like, "Yeah, man, I should have made that." Like, you could actually, you know, see him say that. And it's, you know, and he's right. You know, he was right there by the rim. Would have been an and one if he makes it. He was obviously pissed at himself. And instead of being like, because I, by the way, as somebody who, when I would go back to El Paso and all my family was like 5'5", I was the big down there. And like getting shoved in my lower back as I'm trying to finish, like that sucked. And so I would, you know, I didn't react very well to it, but instead of him being annoyed by that, he was more pissed at himself that I just blew that layup. I shouldn't have blown that layup. So yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed the Harrell experience. It actually, you know, it feels a little bit like Avery Bradley, right? Where, remember with Bradley, Clippers fans were like, "Oh, just wait. He's going to have that Bradley. He's at some point bad Bradley's going to show up." And there was a stretch where it did, and they dunked on Lakers fans for it while it was happening. But for the most part, was a very good Laker. And I think here with Trez, like you're saying, this team is better equipped to optimize him. And I think Clippers fans have been watching like, all right, just wait. And I think you kind of saw it a little bit when Drummond was beating him up. And it's like, well, yeah, the difference is, we don't have Doc Rivers bashing his head up against the wall trying to make that work.
That's right. He won't be playing those minutes. We won't be matching him up. Like, he probably won't close many games in series like that, especially against those bigger guys. And we've got a couple versions of the starting lineup, or a closing lineup, I should say, with Keefe out there. Vogel always talks about the, you know, this lineup, I trust it. I know it. It's the one that we helped win the title with Keefe at the four and AD at the five. There's like four or five other versions of this where we don't have to have Trez on the floor. And then there will be other matchups where he's one of the five best dudes that we could have out there and will be part of a closing lineup. And so that's the thing, is that like, he's not a perfect player. We got him for the freaking MLE, you know, like
he's not a max guy,
but he's a weapon. He's a real legit weapon. He's really good at what he does. And I'm seeing more and more, especially on the defensive end, like you were saying, us playing toward his perimeter defensive abilities. And we're seeing some of the productivity from that.
Yep. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Lakers, one more time, beat the Cavaliers, not the Clippers. Clippers on the mind. Oh, man. They're going to say they're living rent-free. Anyway, Lakers beat the Cavaliers 115-108. It wasn't the most fun game for stretches, but anytime you can watch LeBron James do LeBron James things, it's a freaking treat, and we got to enjoy it. We keep saying, like, you got to enjoy it because at some point you don't know when it's going to go away. It may never go away. Like, he might be 83 years old out there shooting from 65 feet. Who knows? But either way, special night for LeBron heading back to Cleveland for the first time in a couple years. And he gave those fans, and especially that fan, a nice little reminder of why he was the entire franchise.
Closing things up, breaking news from one Harrison Fagan. LeBron says that was directed at a members of the Cavs front office. Quote,
oh, shit.
He was a little bit too excited about seeing the miss. So that's what LeBron said. A little too excited about me missing that shot. Okay. All right. Watch this.
Oh, man. That makes it so much better.
Yeah. Pretty good. He said, LeBron declined, another from Harrison, LeBron declines to name the person, but says, the good thing for him is I only come here once.
Shouts to Bron. That's great. All right. So tomorrow's show, we have a fun one. The Kamenetsky brothers are planned to come on here. And then Pete and I will react to the Philly game after that happens as well. So really fun week ahead for you guys. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Good stuff.